This recording will be available on the password-protected member page on our website. Our prelude is Sonata Number 6 in G minor, Vivace and Allegro Ma Non Presto by Vivaldi, performed by Amber. There will be a pause between movements. Wow, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. Whether you're connecting via Zoom or here in person, we are one community today, united in love and purpose. My name is Mary Sue Roydebuch. My pronouns are she, her. I am the pastoral minister here at Prairie, and I have been so since January. It is my great privilege and honor to share this time with you. If this is your first time here, or your 100th and first time, we are glad you are here. If you carry the weight of a weary world on your shoulders, or you entered through the doors with a song in your heart and a skip in your step, we are glad that you are here. If you are the loudest voice in the town square or the subtle hand behind the scenes, we are glad you are here. If you sing like angels or mumble behind the hymnal, we are glad you are here. This community is what it is because of your presence. So welcome. Welcome into this space of love, support, justice, compassion, and fellowship. We are glad you are here. Our chalice lighting is written by Roy Bennett and read by Johanna Hatch. Yes.
So someone, maybe it was Nancy Wonderland, made these wonderful large print orders of service. I thought it was better to have one at the beginning of the service than later with announcements. So does anybody need a large print order of service? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that kindness, Patty. Johanna.
Listen with curiosity, speak with honesty, act with integrity. The greatest problem with communication is we don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. When we listen with curiosity, we don't listen with the intent to reply. We listen for what's behind the words.
Our opening music is number 338 in the Gray Hymnal, I Seek the Spirit of a Child, accompanied by Amber. Please rise in body or spirit. There we go. Today's story for all ages is The Other Way to Listen by Beard Baylor, who's the author, and Peter Parnell, the illustrator. and I'm reading that story. Children and anyone who'd like to join, come sit up here, and I'm going to ask you to sit on this side. I'll be reading from the mic here. So any who want to come up closer, please join us up here. All ages, all sizes. And I will tell you, these pictures are a little tricky to see, so feel welcome to move up. Those who are over here, friends, could you move over a little closer? I used to know an old man who could walk by any cornfield and hear the corn singing. Teach me, I'd say, when we passed on by. I never said a word while he was listening. Just tell me how you learned to hear that corn. And he'd say, it takes a lot of practice. You can't be in a hurry. And I'd say, I have the time. He was so good at listening. Once he heard wildflower seeds burst open, beginning to grow underground. That's hard to do. He said he was just lucky to have been by himself up there in the canyon after a rain. He said it was the quietest place he'd ever been, and he stayed there long enough to understand the quiet. I said, I bet you were surprised when you heard those seeds. But he said, no, I wasn't surprised at all. It seemed like the most natural thing in the world. He just smiled, remembering. Okay. Another time he heard a rock kind of murmur good things to a lizard. I was there. We saw the lizard sunning on a rock. Of course, we stopped. The old man said, I wonder how that lizard feels about the rock it's sitting on and how the rock feels about the lizard. He always asked himself hard questions that take a while to answer. We leaned against another rock. A long time passed, and then he said, did you hear that? They like each other fine. I said, I didn't hear a thing. He said, sometimes everything being right makes a kind of sound. Like just now, it wasn't much more than a good feeling that I heard from the old rock. Were you supposed to hear it? I always had to ask. He said, not a bit. It seemed like the most natural thing in the world. I said, I wish I'd heard it too. He said he thought I might someday. He told me how a friend of his once heard a whole sky full of stars when she was 7. And later on, when she was 83, she heard a cactus blooming in the dark. At first, she didn't know what she was hearing. She found it by just following the sound. There were 20 flowers on one cactus, and they were all white as the moon. The old man said, most people never hear those things at all. I said, I wonder why. He said, they just don't take the time you need for something that important. I said, I'll take the time, but first you have to teach me. I'd like to if I could, he said, but the thing is, you have to learn it from the hills and ants and lizards and weeds and things like that. They do the teaching around here. Just give me a clue on how to start, I said. And so he said, do this. Go get to know one thing as well as you can. It should be something small. Don't start with a mountain. Don't start with the whole Pacific Ocean. Start with one seed pod, or one dry weed, or one horned toad, or one handful of dirt, or one sandy wash. A sandy wash is a path. I said, I'll take the path. Every morning of his life, when he was young, he climbed a cottonwood and sat there listening. He told me it was worth the time. He said trees are very honest and they don't care much for fancy people. And he said he doesn't know of anything he ever did as important as sitting in that tree. Tell me everything you can, I said. He said, well, you have to respect that tree or hill or whatever it is you're with. Take a horned toad, for example. If you think you're better than a horned toad, you'll never hear its voice, even if you sit there in the sun forever. And he said, don't be ashamed to learn from bugs or sand or anything or anybody. I said, I won't. He thought of one more thing. It's good to walk with people, but sometimes go alone. That way, he said, you can always stop and listen at the right time. I'll remember everything I said, and I did. But nothing worked. I thought there must be something wrong with me because I only heard wind and quail and coyotes and doves, just things that anyone could hear. I almost gave up trying. Of course, I still went walking in my hills. In fact, I used to sing to them a lot. I thought that since they wouldn't sing to me, I'd just sing to them. The day I'm telling you about now, I was singing, and the whole song was this. Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello. That was after I had been away 5 days, and I had missed those hills 5 days. I went out earlier than usual. You know how everything looks new at sunrise? Well, all those hills were looking new. I was just walking where I always walk, but that morning I kept thinking, here I am. And whatever way I happened to go was always right. I climbed the rocky side, not the path. The rocky side is steeper, but I like it best. And anyone, that's where I found my 3 hawk feathers. That's where I found them. I stood at the top where I always stand, looking down, and I sang. Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello. All I know is suddenly I wasn't the only one singing. The hills were singing too. I stopped. I didn't move for maybe an hour. Can you sing with me what they were singing? Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello, hills. Hello. I never listened so hard in my life. Of course, their kind of singing isn't loud. It isn't any sound you can really explain. It isn't made with words. You couldn't write it down. All I can say is it came straight up from those dark, shiny lava rocks, humming. It moved around like wind. It seemed to be the oldest sound in the world. All I can say is I was standing in the middle of that sound at 7 o'clock in the morning, just thinking, here I am, and thinking, listen, and not even being surprised. It seemed like the most natural thing in the world. So we can go on our way now and maybe think about the things that you hear that have no sounds. Let us join our hearts and enter into meditation. I'll ring the chime again to end this time of silence. This morning, my presentation is on keeping it real, keeping it kind. In the quiet moments before I speak, I often think about a conversation that changed me. Several years ago, a teacher pulled me aside after a faculty meeting. With eyes that held both firmness and care, she said, "I need to share something with you." And it's difficult. I know you are the head of school. I know you are a wonderful leader. You have a big heart, and you're my boss. So I'm taking a leap of faith, but I have to tell you something. When you dismissed that teacher's idea so quickly, I watched something drain from his face, his courage, perhaps the sense of being a good teacher or even belonging. I'm telling you this because I believe in your good heart and because our school needs you and all voices to flourish. Now, she said, I hope I won't get fired. Her words landed like stones in still water, creating ripples of recognition, sadness, discomfort, and gratitude. She had offered me a mirror, yet held it with such evident care that I could bear to look into it. Although I had not been self-aware prior, I was now. There were personal and professional growth steps for me to take, and most importantly, repairs for me to make. I contrast this with another time when a parent confronted me and teachers publicly in an all-school email. Why do the teachers dictate the school calendar? They do not need that many professional days, do they? His concern might have held some validity, but his words were delivered as weapons rather than offerings. They left us feeling defensive rather than reflective, attacked rather than approached, isolated rather than connected. The difference between these moments wasn't whether truth was spoken, but in how that truth was held, timed, and offered. We carry tremendous power in our words. With a thoughtful phrase, we can open doors of understanding. With a careless comment, we can build walls that may take years to dismantle. Communication is more than merely speaking what we think. It is an act of creation. In the space between my lips and your ears, we are building something together. Trust or suspicion, connection or division, possibility or limitation. Our UU tradition calls us to a middle path, one that honors both speaking truth and profound compassion. We are not asked to choose between honesty and kindness, but to practice the discipline of integrating them. For example, if we prioritize candor over care, we may preserve facts while fracturing bonds. At the same time, if we offer pleasant words that avoid necessary truths, we may preserve temporary comfort while sacrificing deeper understanding and the invitation to grow. The practice we're exploring today, keeping it real while keeping it kind, isn't about walking on eggshells or diluting our convictions. It's about recognizing that how we communicate is as important as what we communicate. I invite us to contemplate what transformative possibilities might emerge in our relationships and communities if we each committed to communication that honors both our truths and the dignity of each person we encounter. Our emotional intelligence book group at Prairie is soon to be exploring Marshall Rosenberg's work on nonviolent communication. Rosenberg chose the term nonviolent communication with great intention. He taught that everyday language often contains subtle forms of violence. When we harshly label, judge, criticize, or demand, we can create psychological harm. When we communicate from blame rather than connection, we potentially sever the bonds between us. Influenced by Gandhi's practice and principle of Ahimsa, which means non-harm, and his experiences mediating conflicts in desegregating schools and war-torn regions, Rosenberg saw how habitual language patterns can feed disconnection. Nonviolent communication offers an alternative, honoring both authenticity and compassion, both truth-telling and reverence for others. But this requires mindfulness and practice. The way we speak to one another matters. It shapes our relationship in the communities we work and live within. When we communicate with others, we might notice a pattern in ourselves. Perhaps we say, "Hey, I'm just being honest." Or, "They need to have thicker skin," after saying something that hurts someone. But true respect isn't about measuring others against our own standards. It's not enough to think, "I wouldn't mind if someone said it to me, so they shouldn't mind either." The golden rule, treating others as we want to be treated, is a good start. But the platinum rule takes us further, treating others the way they want to be treated. This means paying attention to what matters to the specific person in front of us, honoring their unique sensitivities and preferences. Someone once said to me, "Well, that sounds like people-pleasing to me." I said to them, "I think there is a big difference between trying to please someone and honoring them." Several years ago, I was invited to help resolve a situation at a school where online communication had created deep hurt. A parent, whom I'll call Sydney, posted in an all-school chat expressing strong criticism about changes to the annual Fall Festival. She wrote, "I can't believe the Fall Festival committee made such a thoughtless decision, abandoning our 10-year Halloween tradition. Many parents are upset and confused. Who approved this change without consulting the wider community?" This information regarding the changes that were to be made was to be published in the following week's parent letter. Sydney was not fully informed and had heard some gossip and decided to share her concern first on an all-school email forum. Little did Sydney know, the committee had spent weeks in careful consultation with teachers, the head of school, crafting a more inclusive harvest celebration. While children could still enjoy wearing costumes, the activities deliberately shifted focus away from Halloween traditions out of respect for families who either didn't celebrate or had reservations about the holiday. The committee members who saw this public criticism felt deeply hurt and misunderstood. Their careful work had been characterized unfairly before the entire school community. It was personal to them. By the time the principal entered the dialogue, a lot of damage had been done. It only took a few hours, and several people had chimed in to the online battle. In the end, the repair was slow. The school also had to look at what they could do to promote in-person conversations and create rules around the group chat forum. There were many lessons to be learned from that sad situation. There are a few that I hope to never forget. First, the value of direct conversation is irreplaceable. When something bothers us, reaching out personally to those involved, like Sydney could have done by speaking with the principal first, creates a precious opportunity for understanding before concerns become public discussions. The simple act of connection often resolves issues before they escalate. Also, digital communication, while convenient, sometimes resolves and removes the human elements that keep conversations grounded. Without seeing someone's expressions or hearing their voice, looking in their eyes, we often express ourselves more boldly online than we would face to face. I've been both amazed and saddened by messages I've seen people send that I feel certain would not have been spoken, or at least nearly as harshly. Last, but certainly not least, before responding to something that upsets us, let's give ourselves the gift of a deep breath. That small pause or a good night's sleep can make all the difference in how we communicate, when we communicate, and connect with each other. I bet there is not one of us here who has not been confused or hurt by an email or a like. Even here at Prairie, our community has at times struggled with similar issues. There have been incidences when comments in our Prairie Views forum have caused hurt. Although unintentional, it happens. As Unitarian Universalists, our challenge is to explore together how we can bring our principles of respect, compassion, and deep listening to these digital spaces, remembering always that we're in relationship with real people in our community. We, too, have to look at what might be done proactively to continue open and honest discussion, but insist on right relations at the same time. It's tricky. So what is our responsibility as a community in providing an open and safe forum for all? Let's discuss it. I hope you don't mind, but I am facilitating the discussion today so there can be dialogue in small groups. It is very difficult to facilitate this opportunity in the larger group, and I think we are more apt to hear from everyone. I'm inviting you now, in just a moment, to get into groups of three or four and discuss the questions you will see on the half sheet of paper that you are going to be receiving right now. And there are pencils, I think, in the little pocket in front of you. If you would like a clipboard, they are, I think, in the...
They're
right here if you want one. They will also be on the screen that will be behind me. If one person could be the note taker, that would be great. Hearing, reading your thoughts will be so insightful. As we have an ad hoc committee right now at Prairie exploring right relations with digital communication, those on Zoom, please email me your thoughts and experiences. We will collect the forms at the offertory. Of course, if you want to think more about it and send me your thoughts, I welcome them. That is why my email is on the form. You will have until 10:45. At 10:43, I will let you know it's time to start wrapping up. Your questions are, how might thoughtful guidelines nurture both authentic expression and loving care in our Prairie Views Forum? What practices have you found helpful in your own digital communications? I thank you now for your contribution today. May we find and may we all work together towards more honest and kind relationships. Please get into those groups. Leave no one out. I'm sure you won't. And you can turn around and I'll let you know when it's time. All right. I'm so delighted to hear a good conversation happening here. I hope that this not only gave an opportunity for you to share a personal experience or two, but to get to know people here at Prairie a little better. We will be collecting these, as I said, at offertory, and then as long as names are not used, I'm sure they weren't, but just in case that slipped, I will not use names at all, but we will, this ad hoc committee will be gathering these and using this as community feedback on what we can do to grow in our commitment that we sometimes call a covenant to right relations. We are sharing our offertory this quarter with the Leopold Community Assistance Network, which helps Leopold school families in crisis with eviction prevention funds, housing entry fees, immigration resources, and other needs. Our offertory is We Can Work It Out by Lennon and McCartney, performed by Amber. Yes, just put anyone who was the group leader, or if you have your own you want to put in the basket, you can, or again, email them to me later. Thank you. Our closing words are lyrics from the song More Heart, Less Attack, written by Bear Reinhart and Bo Reinhart, founding members of the band Need to Breathe, read by Paula Pachars.
Be the light in the crack. Be the one that's mending the camel's back, slow to anger, quick to laugh. Be more heart and less attack. Be the wheels, not the track. Be the wanderer that's coming back. Leave the past right where it's at. Be more heart and less attack. The more you take, the less you have, 'cause it's you in the mirror staring back. Quick to let go, slow to react. Be more heart and less attack. Ever growing, steadfast, and if need be the one that's in the gap. Be the never turning back. Twice the heart anyone could have.
Our closing song is number 170 in the Gray Hymnal. We are a gentle, angry people, accompanied by Amber. Please rise in body or spirit. Today, after the service, as you can smell, Prairie Guys Group will be serving a pancake brunch to celebrate Mother's Day, please join us. All are welcome, especially visitors. Menu includes pancakes with options for gluten-free and vegan pancakes, also bacon and vegan sausage, coffee, juice, and milk. The brunch will be served in this room, so we ask that everyone please move to the lobby while volunteers set up tables and get ready to serve brunch. Next Sunday is our spring parish meeting. We'll start with a short service and then move right into the parish meeting. Members will be voting on the Financial Reserves Committee proposal, new board members, and a new nominating committee member. After the parish meeting, Just Bakery will have baked goods for sale. You can reward yourself for attending the parish meeting with something delicious. That was smart. Please read any last minute that's for me, sorry. There are more announcements in your order of service and the news of the week email. Is there anyone else who had an announcement? Okay, at this time we are stopping the recording.